Few things before we begin. Firstly, tonight's Vod, I'll dedicate the Zecher Nishmas, my grandmother, whose Yahrzeit is tonight. Her name was Bela Glickel Bas Rabbi Shaya Mendel. Shamash Avon Leah. Also, before we begin the official Vod, Bosai, did you realize that we're 3 weeks away from Ezra Shem Summersman?
Oh, yeah.
It's. Bosai, we should start. You know, as Luban talked about yesterday, we should start dancing already. All the mitzvahs we could get, or the excitement we could get when you get to Eretz Yisrael. Definitely very geschmack. Before I begin, I would like to quote heavily from Rashi's in this week's Parsha. A lot of interesting stuff in Parsha's Naso. But in particular, just to begin, not the title of the Vod, not the topic of the Vod, but I thought there was a Rashi that definitely applied very much in the past couple days, definitely played out today. There's a Rashi that says, you know, you're trying everything you can to get the Sota to admit that she was Mizana. And obviously that's better for her to admit than to us go through the process of giving her the Mayim Ma'arim, which required the Shem Hashem to be erased. And that would be the better, you know, way to go about it, that she admits by herself. It's like any time you interrogate a high school guy. You'd rather that he admits and you have to go and prove it. So the Torah goes through so many things to inspire her, to motivate her to admit. And, you know, you're going to scare her. You're going to say all the horrible things going to happen to her. None of that intimidates her. But Chazal say one of the things you do is you basically take her on a grand tour of the entire Beis HaMikdash without a segue, of the whole area, up and down, here and out, until she's absolutely exhausted. When she's absolutely exhausted, then maybe she'd admit. And the Reshiva points out, you see from here, whatever motivation and inspiration didn't do, when a person's tired, he's not on top of his game, he's exhausted, and that's when they cry, you know, uncle. That's when they'll admit. A person is not themselves when they don't sleep, when they're exhausted, when they're out of breath. That's not when a person's in his best mental state. And you can get them to admit, you get them to do many, many crazy things because they're tired. So first and foremost, everyone should go to bed. Maybe we should end the Vod early. But everyone should go to bed and make sure they, by now for sure, caught up in their sleep of, you know, which definitely could have been lost over this very hectic and busy Yom Tov of Shavuos. Whether you stay up one night or two nights. Either way, guys will be quite tired. And it's very kedai for your functioning, for your neighbor's functioning, for everyone, everyone gets some good sleep. The topic tonight, I give credit to my dear Talmud and cousin, perhaps in that order, Shmuel Merlich, Reb Shmuel Merlich. I was riding with him to the airport and back to from the airport. His flight was delayed and undelayed, and we had some fun together. So I said, Rav Shmuel, no, what should I talk about tonight? Now, full disclosure, I was probably 60% on the way to a different Vod on a totally different topic. Ezra Pomper had some input in that original Havamina of a Vod. But instead happened was we talked about a certain topic, and he told me two stories, which I'll get to second half of the Vod. And I decided, yes, that is a very, very good topic to talk about. I really did preface it by asking him, Nu, you're back in yeshiva for a few days. What topic do you think the guys need a Vod on? He's a bekeach, he's a person who's aware, going on. So he said this topic. So I'm just going with him. I'm blaming it on him. This is no Hanhala conspiracy. This is just Rav Shmuel Merlich. So the topic I want to talk about is Das Ba'atzmo, knowing oneself, which has many ramifications, and we'll talk about it. You know, the most common thing, I'll go straight to the chase, you know, Shmuel joked that, hey, you know, a lot of people, they want to become, you know, a gadol and a tzaddik overnight. And, you know, that's, you know, take some time. That was Shmuel's line. You know, I was thinking when he first said it. I won't put this on tape, but whatever. Masilas Hasharim in Perek Aleph, right, talks about that the Yetzer Hara gives us nisyonos, mash where we're holding. Panim va'acher, in front of you, behind you. Like, no matter what stage a person is in life, there's always nisyonos, always challenges. Like, in a certain sense, like, different type of nisyonos, firmer Yetzer Haras. And that's what I would like to talk in general about today. But I'd like to pick out a few different ideas. The first idea, Rashi in this Exparsha, famous Rashi. Rashi, in the beginning of Perek Vav, Pasuk Beis, it talks about a person becoming a Nazir. So the Parsha of Nazir comes right after the Parsha of Sota. So the famous Rashi, Laman Nismacha Parsha Nazir, Parsha Sota. Why the two parshas next to each other? Lomelcha shachar roa sota b'kukulo yazar atzmen ayayin. Okay, I'll leave out the last line. Darshan on that for other days. But anyone who sees a sota b'kukulo yazar atzmen ayayin. So all the Bali Musar asked a question: if you see a sota b'kukulo, would you have to be yazar atzmen ayayin? And the question they asked is, you know, think about it. You're standing there in the Beis HaMikdash. You see this woman who could be, when she first walked in, looked very pretty. And then they start to bemanavel her. They mess up her clothes. She looks horrible. Mess up her hair. Tire her out. She mamish looks like a wreck. Not only that, after she looks like a wreck, and doesn't look as attractive as she once did before, when she drinks the Mayim Arim, and it's correct that she was Mizana, Chazal define how her body absolutely blows up, guts spewing everywhere. In fact, Chazal say it's a whole process. You see how the water goes in step by step, and like ripping apart all different evarim in her body, which were involved in the Avera, this one first, this one second, and she just blows up, guts and blood everywhere. After witnessing that, do you think you would be one step closer or 10 steps further away from ever doing the Avera? So the Bali Musa all asked Akasha, like, what's up, Shah? Why do you need to be Yazar Atzmen Ayayin? And the Teretz is, people are mushpa, and you see someone does it, and maybe you could do it too, and there's a certain negative hashpa. That's what all the Bali Musar say. But I had one little dehair in this Rashi. Okay, that's the Bali Musar of Akasha, could it be? And there it says, yeah. But I have one dehair. If you interviewed the persons, the people standing there watching this happen, which side of the equation would they be on? Would they think that they have to be Yazar Atzmen Ayayin? The answer is obviously not, right? Unless they knew the shmooze. They're the people watching it. They would say, exactly, Rabbi, absolutely no way. I saw her blow up. I would never step foot, never do anything slightly remotely. Chas v'shalom could bring me to such an avera. That's what the person would say. You do a lie detector test. Tests will come up positive. They're not lying. They believe it. Are they right or are they wrong? The answer we see from Chazal, with the depth of their understanding, is they're wrong. They thought, by me watching what happened to this woman, I'll never do this avera. Never. Not in 1,000 years. I witnessed it. How could I? Our Chazal teach us, that might be what you think on a conscious level, but deep down in your subconscious, there's something stewing. There's something brewing over there. Something could come up from that. There's a negative hashpa that you receive by watching that there was a prutz in Klai Yisrael that did this. It's shaykh for a Jew to do such a thing. And that negative hashpa could lay dormant for many years. You wouldn't know it's there. But it's there. It's inside of you. And if you're not yazol min ha'atzmo min ha'yayin, there'll be a problem. So I believe what you see from here, one example of how a person on their conscious level, and probably pretty deep into their conscious level, they would, I never would do this. Not me. But the Torah is made, the Torah understands the depth of a person's neshama, the depth of kochas and nefesh in the person. And the Torah tells us you're wrong. It would affect you. You think it doesn't? Hashem says, I know it does. That's a chiddush I'm going to teach you over here. How many times did it come? Yeah, averus are a good place to start. Rebbe, this is not going to affect me. I'm sure. Should I back down? Guy says, I'm sure it's not going to affect me. So this guy said the same thing. He's sure. But the Torah's understanding of psychology, of the human dynamic, is so much deeper. The person's not in touch. The person doesn't realize. The person doesn't really push his buttons to get to that depth to realize Taka would affect me. Taka, you're right. Taka, I realize how dangerous it is for me. So this is one example, right here in this week's parsha, how the Torah understands better than we do what's really going on inside of us and how we have a certain disconnect. We don't see it. We don't feel it. I'll give you another example. One of the things it does by Sota, Rashi says, Uparas Rosha Isha, you unveil the head of a woman. Rashi says, Sosa's Cleosara Kadela Vazosa, you undo her braids to embarrass her, and you let this married woman's hair go uncovered. Mikan, Rashi says, of Nos Yisrael, Shigilei Rosh Kanailam. From here we see that Gilei Rosh is an embarrassment for them. Just for a moment, I can't say over this Rashi, I'll tell him a fascinating story. My wife told me the story of her doctor in New York, a famous lady, who grew up secular and slowly got closer to Yiddishkeit. And she lived in a modern Orthodox town. And, yeah, there were probably some people in her shul that covered their hair, but there's probably a significant amount of people in her shul that did not cover her hair. And this woman is learning more about, you know, real Yiddishkeit now that she's learning more. And she came to the Rashi in this week's Parsha. She was learning, went to a Parsha class, rabbi, and learned this Rashi. It's like, really? It's a Gnai? Women are supposed to cover their hair? Rashi says that on Pasuk Beferish and Chumash. From reading this Rashi, this woman forever changed her life. And she, you know, started covering her hair. I think when they say over the story, it was a bit chiddush because everyone knew this doctor for her long blonde hair. And from this point on, she was forever changed. Nope, I have to cover my hair. Mamash, reading one Rashi in Chumash. Pretty cool. But I saw Rav Steinemann has a sefer in Chumash, a yellow shachar, and a very interesting kasha in Rashi. He had a couple kashas in Rashi. But one of the kashas he asked was, Mikan levnos yisol shagila herosh kanailan. From here we see that for benos yisol, it's embarrassing, it's a ganai, for them to have their hair uncovered. Frakt Rav Steinemann is a pasa coming to teach us mitzias. The mitzias is Jewish women are embarrassed that their hair, which is considered erva, is uncovered. Frakt Rav Steinemann, he doesn't answer this kasha. The Torah needs to teach us mitzias. It's a mitzias. Benos Yisrael, it's a gnai lam. It's embarrassing for their hair to be uncovered. Does the Torah need to teach us mitzias? Frakt Rav Steinemann? Leinias Daiti, I think the Teretz could be said along the lines of the Yisod we said in the first Rashi too. Rashi is not here. Of course, Rashi wouldn't teach us an obvious mitzvah. But Rashi's teaching us is the psychology of deep down in the person. For years, right, there are many people who, especially, you know, if they're unknowledgeable, that's stam. They don't count because they don't really know. They don't know the halachas, and stam, if they don't know the halachas, they're not going to be fully in touch with themselves. But definitely someone who knows the halacha. There are many cases of women who walk around without their hair covered. Do they feel gnayu lahem? What about if a woman's hair is covered, but not fully covered? You know, it's more than a tefach showing. Do they feel gnayu lahem? Simple answer is, if you ask them, they would say no. No. Zakt Rashi, Mikan of Nosisol, Shagiloi Rosh, Gnayu lahem. You may not feel this on a conscious level, but Rashi's coming to teach you that deep down, this is bothering you. You may not realize it. You may not be in touch with yourself, but it's there. There's a gnai that every Jewish woman would feel if they're in touch with themselves. Again, let's start off with the people who know the halacha, but people who are not keeping the halacha, not keeping hilchot tznius, gnayu lahem. How do you feel? I feel great. I look great. I'm happy. Does it bother you? I'm not afraid of me. Gnayu lahem. The Torah is telling you this is the metzias. They might deny it. They'll swear in a sefer Torah. So the lady sure would. But they're, yeah. No, doesn't bother me. Zakt Rashi, it does. Mikan v'nos Yisrael sh'gnayu lahem. You don't realize it, but it's there. So that really means, once you see these two Rashis, that we have to be very careful. Like, a lot of times, we make decisions like this. Rebbe, I don't feel that. I don't see that. And you could be telling the truth. You don't. But part of it is because, you know what? We may not be really in touch with ourselves. There are many feelings which are quite deep, quite buried, very slight. I dare use the words dake dakos. They're small. But we know dake dakos, small things make a difference. It may not make a difference today. It might only come out tomorrow. But it's there. Extra hasmada is not going to bother me. I can handle it. Maybe. Maybe not. You have to be in touch with yourself. You have to weigh these things. I'm not going to get gaiva from this. Maybe. Maybe not. The fact that on a conscious level, you make some type of a hashara that it won't affect me, I don't know. The guy watching Sota Bil Kalkula was swearing to save the Torah. It's not going to affect me. He's never going to do it. But Rashi says, we know better. The woman walking with her hair uncovered, I'm not embarrassed. Zakt Rashi, I'll tell you a chiddush. It's a metzias, but it's a psychological metzias buried deep within a person. She is embarrassed. So do other things. Again, it's not, you know, when it comes to shilas about staying up extra or learning this or learning that or making another seder. Look, these are the type of things a person has to weigh themselves. But realize, even after we make some degree of hashara, we might be making a mistake. We may not be really reaching into the depth of ourselves. We may not be people who really know ourselves. We might be fooling ourselves and living in a world which is not really the right reality. It's very easy, you know, in yeshiva, to a certain degree, to live in a world which is not really reality. Right? After all, yeshiva, you're learning concepts, you're learning ideals, you're learning, you know, this is what this tzaddik did and that tzaddik did. You're learning stories from Gedolim. And it's very easy to, like, envision ourselves in those worlds, put ourselves in those people's shoes, and try to act like them. But it's not so poshut. You really have to know where we're holding, what we're able to do, what we're not able to do. Reb Shmuel told me a story in Queens. They're recently fighting about something, talking about certain madrigas of Avos Hashem. And guys are like hawking, like Rabbi Harris, like, come on, like, yeah, it's the Indian of Avos Hashem and this and that. Rabbi Harris is like, right back. You think you really feel the Avos Hashem? You think so? No, not feeling Avos. Now, these are the type of svaras which are tricky. Like, you know, especially when you hit back with him. Like, the guy's like asking a kasha. And Rabbi Harris like, no, you're not feeling that. Like, hey, like, you know, guys sometimes resent those type of things. Don't tell me what I'm feeling. Who are you to tell me what I feel? Answer is, hey, Rabbi Harris, I've been around the block. I know these things. They're chazals. You know, Rashi's telling you how you feel. He's telling you how you feel, telling her how she feels, telling everybody how you feel. You're missing it. It's so easy to misjudge, and, you know, if a person had a choice to view himself already on the Madrega here or Madrega here, where do you think a guy's going to view himself? So he really goes both ways in yeshiva. Probably half the guys think of themselves lower than they are, and they feel down and depressed. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the other half, you know, have a bloated sense of what they could do, what they can't do. And there's probably a few guys in the middle who are actually well-balanced. Hopefully there are many people in the middle. But these different sets of people come from unrealistic, not real views of themselves. I was thinking to myself, sometimes in a really, you know, sometimes in a schmooze, like, you talk about Galus Adam. So that's a great schmooze for a person who doesn't feel so great about himself to get inspired and to get the better picture of Galus Adam. Okay, but if you say a Galus Adam schmooze to a guy who feels too much of himself already, what effect will that have? Will push him more, perhaps, in that direction. Very tricky balance. I don't know. It's a tough job up here. What do you talk about? What do you say? How do you balance things? What do you hear when you hear that schmooze? Right? You hear a schmooze about, you know, some tzaddik on some lofty madrega. Okay. How do you translate that schmooze to me and my madrega? This is another discussion. Remember Shmuel, he's been in my house for a few days. We had a lot of discussions. So I told him over the discussion I had recently. Some of the first year guys were talking, you know, about right, Luban, you know, bench saying Asher Yotzeh from a sitter. So I wasn't sure. I didn't pay much attention, but it looked like in the group someone was trying to say, oh, there's some guys who try to do that. So I think I turned to the guy sitting next to me, probably you, Dovi. I said, if you do, I'm going to slap you. Mm-hmm. Right? You better not be saying Asher Yotzeh. Oh, what do you mean? It's an Indian. I'm like, I saw Rabbi Luban 20 years ago. He wasn't doing that. Who do you think you are to do that now? What do you mean? It's an Indian. Huh? Yes and no. Pshat is like this. If you're young and invincible, your Asher Yotzeh doesn't mean anything. You're just going through the motions. You're saying the words with kavana to get schar and olam haba. The words don't really mean anything. Because do you feel the vulnerability? That's where kavana steps. Have you done all the steps till the Asher Yotzeh? It's so easy for us to grasp on to certain things, certain actions we see. Ooh, I want to do that. But there's depth behind these things. And you have to weigh, you have to know, are these things that, you know, I should do, I shouldn't do? And it's so easy to make mistakes. So easy. Shalz, when should I do which story? One story that Shmuel told me. Fascinating thing. And he was hanging around Chavetz Chaim Yerushalayim after Steinemann was nifter. And they had an Azkara there where one of the speakers they brought in was Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. Shmuel never heard him before. I said, God, he came to North Miami Beach twice this year. Amazing speaker. Shmuel was like, this guy's amazing. He's so deep. He's so this. Mask him. Huh? Yeah. So he said Rabbi Lapiansky told over two stories. One I'll tell you now, the other one I'll tell you in a few minutes. Second one we heard, but with the wrong taich. makes a difference who you hear a story from. Rabbi Lapiansky told over a Maisa that when Rabbi Steinman first came to America years ago on a visit, so they were hawking B'nai Brak, who's going to be Rabbi Steinman's gabbai to go? So Rabbi Steinman interviewed two candidates for the job to go with him, two Chasheva, Avreichim, whatever, to go with him to America. So one person, Rabbi Steinman asks, why do you want to come with me to America? So this person said, it would be so inspiring to see the Kavod HaTorah that the American Torah world gives to Rav Steinman. That'll be a tremendous historius. I'd love to see it. And the other guy, when pressed, why do you want to come with me to America? He said, I've never been to America. It'd probably be interesting to see America. Maisa Shahoy Rav Lapiansky said over on Rav Steinman's Askara. Rav Steinman chose the second guy. Do you know why he chose the second guy? Zakt Rav Steinman. The first guy's lying to himself. You think you're really going to there because you want to see Kavod HaTorah? Come on. Who are you kidding? Now, if I would say that, you would jump on me. Rav Steinman didn't have an ounce of gaiva inside of him. He was mamish kulo kedusha. He sees a person. This is the emes. This person's deluding himself. You think you're really going because you want to see the Kavod HaTorah? You want to see the Kavod HaTorah? It'll be so inspiring. It'll probably be inspiring to see yourself in every picture with Rav Steinman when he goes to America. It might be inspiring the kavod that you would get when you walk into the room with Rav Steinman. I want to see the Kavod HaTorah that Rav Steinman's getting. Rav Steinman, this cool little MS, looks at this guy. You're a fake. You're a fraud. Now, I'm sure the person was mamish, a wonderful yid. But Rav Steinman got to the depth of a person. You're fooling yourself. If I have a choice of two to take, I'm taking the other guy. The guy who wants to go see Disney World. He's never been to America. Let him come. Maisa Shahaya. And Rav Lapiansky uses a tight job. This is Rav Steinman. He was cool emes. So we have these things a lot of times. We can misjudge ourselves. We don't understand ourselves. Torah is replete. This week's parsha, I showed you two of them, where people totally misjudge themselves. They don't realize Gnaihu Lisha. They don't realize you need a chizuk. We don't see it. And that's why it's so important to have a better self-understanding of ourselves. And of course, the more self-understanding we have of ourselves, if we're more in touch with ourselves, the more we could do and the more we could accomplish. We could accomplish more because we know ourselves, we know our limitations, we know what we could do. We're in touch with that MS. But it's also, we won't suffer from setbacks mistakes we'll make in our misjudging of ourselves. Another Rashi in the Parsha says that a Nazir brings a Karban Chatas. Famous thing. So everyone asks a Kasha, why does a Nazir bring a Karban Chatas? Rashi brings a second shot. Well, Nazir, a Kafar Omer, Shetzir Atzman a Yayin. He would sire himself from Yayin. Frecht all the Mepharshim and Rashi. Why is that a problem? Didn't we have the Rashi earlier, which we also have on our page, that's the correct reaction? Nazir is a correct thing because it prevents sotas. Yain is maybe they niyaf. So Rashi said before, protecting yourself from wine is a maila. Why do we have over here? It's a taina, it's mitzayir himself. So they have different terutzim. I found in the Yigim Perushim and Rashi, the Nachas Yaakov, look at the last of the smaller lines. We see mitzaris and afika nikra chote. Asher tziyah atman ayayim. Yosir mima sheyuchol lamad bo. Meyach hashetim er latzmo. We're talking about a nazir. Mamish was super duper l'shem shemayim. Totally l'shem shemayim. I'm doing it for the right reasons. Doing l'shem shemayim. No question about that. But you know what? he pushed himself a little too far, and he took on too many days, and he was metame himself. That's a taina on him. Why is it a taina? I'm a good guy. I have good intentions. I mean, okay, that's metame. Okay, it happens. Kohanim get metame too. It happens. But you misjudge yourself. You took on more than you could handle. That's a taina on you. That's why you have to bring a karmen chatos. When a person, even if in general you touched yourself up right, but a lot of times these things, we can misjudge ourselves and we can make mistakes. Those mistakes cost us. There's an achrayus we have for those mistakes. Now it's tricky. Sometimes there's a right thing, you know. Guys are hocking me about hasmada today. So I'm saying part of it is trial and error. Really to see how much a person could do. A person is expected to try things, and you're never going to know if you could do it or not if you don't try. But obviously trying means within range, you're not doing crazy things. But you try and you see how it affects your body, it affects you. And even, you know, you can always, lavdafka, you try now, maybe when you try a year later, a few months later, and now maybe you're more able to handle that. There's always a process of trial and error. But it seems sometimes we're doing things which are too much for us, and we make mistakes. There's an achrayus for that too. People have to be in touch with themselves, know themselves. And the more we're in touch with ourselves, the more we won't make mistakes.
So what's worse, doing too much or doing too little? Because if you don't do anything, you're going to be stuck.
Correct.
Nowhere, if you do too much.
Correct. I don't want Chas V'Shalom, the message to walk away from this Zvad, is, okay, I can't do anything because I'm not in the Madrega and this. You know, there's another Shmuel Moral story. We're hawking about, you know, wearing hats and, you know, or here and there. A guy says, I don't feel I'm on the Madrega. My hair says, just put on the hat. Just put on the hat. Not a Madrega, huh? Right. He says it straight. Right? Certain things are not Madregas, not this, you know. I'm not Madrega to wear, you know, non-pink shoes. People say, you're a mensch in yeshiva, you should not be wearing pink shoes. It's not a Madrega. Just do it. On that, we have Rabbi Harris, the thing. But so many good Rabbi Harris lines. He likes them. Anyway, I want to tell you the second story, which he said, which is a phenomenal story, which some of us might remember. We heard this story right here in this room a few months ago. But this is Rabbi Lapiansky's version of the story, or better than that, same story, but touch up of the story. Goodness. There's somebody who wanted to open a Beis Yaakov in Bnei Brak. There already was a Beis Yaakov in Bnei Brak. There already was a Beis Yaakov in Bnei Brak. And this guy wanted to open up a second Beis Yaakov. So he comes to Rav Steinemann, says, can we open a Beis Yaakov in Bnei Brak? Why do we know the Beis Yaakov in Bnei Brak? So the guy says, well, you know, there's this schnit of Hashkafa, which the regular Beis Yaakov is from. But there's another schnit, which that Beis Yaakov isn't really attracting, isn't really doing. Should we do that? You know, there's a real tzayuch for such a thing. You know, I think I'll do a very good job. I know that schnit. I know the people. I'll be the best Rosh Hashiva. I mean, Reish Mosad of the Beis Yaakov. Shlomo says, absolutely not. I will not give you my bracha. A week later, another guy walks in. Okay, I saw another Beis Yaakov in Bnei Brak. It's my parnasa. I want for my parnasa. Shlomo said, yes. Pshat in the story is not. She tells the Chavurah of Shanim in those things to help people with Parnasa. Nish the Pshat. Zok Lapiansky, you know what the Pshat is? The first guy is a lawyer. You really think that they need another Beis Yaakov for another Hashkafa? No. You want to be a Rosh Yeshiva. So you want to open up your own place. That's why you're doing it. Other guy, look, I need to make parnasa. I want to support my family. Look, I think I could do it by opening this. Oh, parnasa, support your family. You're honest with yourself, the reason why you're doing it. You could open it up. Zelklo Lapiansky. This story shows us that a person who's in touch with himself, you know, why is that a requirement? I could see, you know, Steinemann, he's going on a trip to America, so You have two guys. One guy who's honest with himself, and one guy who's a little, you know, misconnected. Doesn't really get himself. So I get that story a little bit. Rav Steinman wants to be with a guy who's more in touch with himself if he's traveling away from home for 3 weeks. You know, I'd rather that guy be helping me out than the other guy. But like, in opening a Beis Yaakov, who's the best qualified? Is this guy qualified? Not qualified. You hack. Well, this guy really, you know, wasn't honest with himself. And this guy said it straight. He's doing it for Parnassa. Zuckler Lapiansky. Sheker Einar Lagerlayim. Things which are not true don't last. Unfortunately, this person, this is a pretty major thing. You're deciding who should open a yeshiva. I have two Rosh Yeshivas. Go open a branch. There's one guy who's X-level Lamdin, but he's also, his heads are shtickle in the clouds, and he's shtickle, like, you know, doesn't fully get himself. I have another guy, not the same level Lamdin, don't make it so different, but a little less, but he's honest with himself. He knows what he knows what he doesn't know. Straight shooter. Well, if Steinman Paskin that shot, like Abba Beis Yaakov, I'll take the second guy every day. Because someone who's straight, someone who's emistek, you're not going to run into problems because he gets it. He understands himself. He understands others. How do you expect somebody who doesn't get themselves to ever one day lead another person? You're going to give advice and hadracha to another person? You don't get yourself. You haven't figured yourself out. Now you're going to tell your kids what to do. Your Talmidim, Talmidos, what to do. It's a very, very, very important yesod in life. The more a person is able to understand themselves, really get into the depth of how things affect them, don't affect them, what madrega am I on, what madrega I'm not on, why I'm doing things, am I doing things for Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem and Schar and Mitzvahs and this, is that what you're doing? Are you doing it? Is it something you like? Something you're good at? Something that you feel happy in doing? Kol kavod. But let's not fool ourselves. When I hear things, how do I translate them? Do you always knock off things? That doesn't apply to me. Really? This general rulem, general klalim, rebbeim are giving over. That's not me. I remember he used to say in yeshiva, that's the guy who said anything that the rebbeim ever talked about in yeshiva doesn't apply to me. He's talking to that type of guy. I can handle it. Maybe. Maybe not. I'm not Rav Steinman, but nice to see only a lie detector test. No one's lying here. This is sincere people. But how much you really understand yourself, das ba'atzmo, is really, really a important midah for a person to acquire. Baruch Hashem, the more a person works to honestly understand themselves, you get siyat d'shmaya too. This is not something which is an impossible parsha. Obviously, you could be shal eitz of your friends, be shal eitz of rebbeim. That all helps with these things. But the more a person gets themselves in line with themselves, it will be easier for a person to travel and go mechayel chayel from madrega to madrega. And step by step, little by little, that's the path to true godless, true emes. It seems Rav Steinman, that's what he did. He understood himself. He understood what was emes. Understood what was a little bit ahead in the clouds. Connect well. And Bezal Hashem, if Habal Attire Messiah himself, this is something that we want. We want to reach the emes. We want to see, truly understand ourselves. Kadosh Baruch Hu will help us get there. Thank you very much.